Welcome back to Locked On Spurs, right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, a Spurs writer for Ken's 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Hey, we're going to have a special edition right here on Locked On Spurs with the offseason still trudging along and, you know, just still weeks away before the start of training camp regular season. Time to catch up with some other Spurs news and notes. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be talking with Matt Issa. He is an NBA writer, podcaster with At The Quest 6 and At Hoops Heads Pod. And he is going to release a new film called The Quest for the Best. He calls himself an amateur movie guy, but he showed me a sneak peek of the trailer. It could have fooled me. He's amateur. Basically, it's the hunt to find out which player is the best of the best when it comes to the hardware, that is the NBA. And yes, David Robinson and Tim Duncan are on the list. Let's dive right into it. Matt, welcome to Locked On Spurs.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
I'm doing well, man. By the way, you can follow Matt on Twitter at MattIssa15. Doing good, man. Small world, man. You're out there in East Lansing. I used to live in Lansing, Michigan. Like you said, small world, buddy.
Yeah, no, we were just talking before the show. You guys didn't hear this, yeah. But he actually, Jeff actually went to the law school that was formerly affiliated with the Michigan State Law School. So
yeah,
we're kind of like alumni brothers or relatives or however the lineage goes.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but yeah, I do miss Michigan, man. It was a nice little quaint city.
Yeah, just to clarify a couple things. It's actually a podcast series, not a film. I know people get confused because I made like a visual trailer for it and like people don't usually do that. But yeah, so I figured I'd clear up that discrepancy. But yeah, Tim Duncan and David Robinson are both, we'll put it this way, not to give away any spoilers, are both definitely in contention for one of those 10 spots.
Interesting. So just to clarify, this is a podcast series that just happens to have a film-like trailer. Is that correct?
Yeah, my buddy who put the trailer together for me, he's actually one of my roommates here in East Lansing. He's so talented, and he really wanted he wanted to make sure I didn't take any shortcuts with, you know, the whole production process of this series. So he said, you know, along with having like a standard, you know, audio trailer that you have to start up all your podcasts, he said you should have this as well. And it's really helped kind of give the series a veneer of like professionalism, you know, because I am an amateur. I am also an amateur movie review guy, but that's something I do for fun.
All right. Well, let's take a look at what you got cooking for us. That'll be coming out soon. Tell us about the show. Tell us about this podcast series. What was the brainchild of it? How did you get to this?
Yeah. So, you know, about let's say about this time last year, I'd finally accomplished a goal of getting into law school, which was kind of the thing that had consumed all my endeavors in undergrad. And, you know, I talk about this in the series. I have a very like kind of obsessive personality. And so when I get stuck on something, I usually take it to an extra extreme or whatever. But, I finally accomplished this goal that I felt would, you know, give me this sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. But, you know, when it happened, like it was cool for a day or two, but like the feeling kind of expired quickly. And it was like, you know, I kind of questioned, you know, I'm happy I'm in law school. I'm excited for the journey that's up ahead. But I questioned if like this, like, was I doing this just because I wanted to, like, just for the sake of accomplishing it? Or is it because it's something I loved? So, you know, I had done writing on the side for a website, another story for another day. But, you know, I realized I had so much fun doing it. And so I wanted to do something that could, you know, kind of help separate me from the pack. Because everyone, there's so many people on Twitter that are, you know, doing a bunch of different great NBA content. And it's hard to really, you know, make yourself stick out, make a name for yourself. Right. So I'm like, I'm going to do the opposite of what people do. Like, you know, for example, like Chris Herring, you know, worked his way up all the way. You know, he's an SI writer and then he has this big book coming out now. But I wanted to do it the opposite way. I was going to do the big project and then I was going to try and get myself in the industry. So what's one thing like people always talk about, you know, what's easy to talk about? Listicles. Everyone loves listicles, right? You search about on Google, like top 10 greatest episodes of The Wire or something weird like that, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I'm like, why don't I do the top 10 greatest players? And, you know, like that, like the obsessive personality we talked about, it started out as something like, okay, I'm going to do a top 10 list. And then it became, no, you know what? I'm going to do the most thorough top 10 list anyone's ever done. And I'm going to turn it into something, you know, people have never really seen before. It's going to be something completely different. And the one thing that really just stuck in my mind the whole time I'm doing this series is like, I'm going to find a way to make this like the rest of my life. You know, like I'm going to find a way to be able to talk about basketball for the rest of my life. And I'm going to put everything I have into this series. So, I mean, yeah, it's been a really fun ride. I mean, I wouldn't trade the experiences, the interviews I've been able to do for the world, all the knowledge I've gained from this series. But I'm just really excited for everyone to see, you know, what I came up with and if they agree or disagree or not.
It sounds like a very long, lengthy process. You're talking about interviewing people, you know, speaking with people about, you know, some of the players that could land on your list there. How hard was it to put together this podcast series?
Oh, it's so tough because I have, you know, now I might have like a very, very, very small ounce of like credibility. You know, some people amongst the NBA sphere, you know, might recognize my name, but like before it was like, you know, I'm emailing people and they're just like left and right, either not responding or turning me down. And then one day, I'm going to mispronounce his last name. I had emailed Richard Deesh, I believe, from The Athletic. Mm-hmm. He's a football writer, but he had done this article I really liked. And I was emailing him more because I was curious about the process of journalism and storytelling, you know, because I went to work and refine my skills because I don't have a traditional journalism background. My undergrad degree was in psychology and criminal justice. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, honestly, I'm not the kind of guy that you should talk to about this. You know, football is more my avenue. But he's like, have you ever heard of Jack McCallum? You know, I can set you up with him. And I'm like, have I ever heard of Jack McCallum? Like, one of the greatest sports writers that ever lived. Of course I've heard of him. So he set me up with Jack, and me and Jack emailed a little bit, but unfortunately he wasn't able to do an interview because of a conflict with some other project he was a part of. But he's like, you know, would be a really good person to talk to.
Right.
He's like, have you ever heard of Bob Ryan? I'm like, you're talking about the godfather of sports journalism right there.
Yeah.
So I meet him like face to face in person because of COVID and all that stuff. But we Zoom called for, I want to say, about 2 hours. And I mean, that was like just a life changing experience talking to him.
I can imagine. You know,
he's probably one of the most knowledgeable people in the game of basketball that we have today because he's seen it all. You know, he's seen Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain. And I think he caught a little bit of Mike in at the end. But so it was a really cool experience. And that, so it was like, there's certain things, like, I don't know, you feel like you owe this person the respect of like, hey, okay, this guy took 2 hours out of his life mm-hmm. to talk to me. So I need to make this worth his time. I need to make this the best it can be. And so, you sure. know, I met Bob. And then, so when I reach out to people after that, I'd say, you know, I've interviewed guys like Bob Ryan. And they're like, oh, if Bob talked to this guy, you know, I could probably talk to him. He might know something. So then, you know, it started to pile up. You know, I got to talk to some really cool people. And in all, I think I did about 70 interviews. And I got a lot of different perspectives from a lot of different schools of thought pertaining to basketball analysis, whether it be like, you know, traditional on the ground journalism, like a Bob Ryan type, or like high level analytics, mm-hmm. or just like, you know, straight up X's and O's from like different coaches I got to talk to. And then, of course, you know, getting to speak with players and kind of getting like the real experience of like what it's like to be a basketball player at the highest level. Mm-hmm. That was all cool. But yeah, it was tough. I mean, it's so many obstacles. I'm still facing so many obstacles every day as we're getting ready to launch this thing within the next couple of days. But it's, I mean, it's hard, but it's definitely worth it. I'm really excited, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine that. What spearheaded this idea? You know, you talk about lists and how fans love lists, and you talk about you know, NBA stuff, but I can only imagine, you know, how hard it was for you to compile just even 10 names, just 10 names out of the NBA's history. Doctor created, doctor recommended. I'm talking about Sweat Block. Hey, look, excessive sweating is, you know, can be an issue at times. Fortunately for you, there is Sweat Block. Works up to 7 days per use, dry shirt guarantee, and if Sweat Block doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. Featured and tested on The Rachel Ray Show by firefighters, and it's a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years, over 13,000 reviews. Manufactured in the USA, wear what you want to wear, your little secret of confidence. This is a must for everyone's toiletry bag. Whether it's for a big presentation or a hot date, everybody can benefit. I get it. Excessive sweating is something that's just not fun to talk about, but luckily there is SweatBlock. SweatBlock is a stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply add it at night, go to bed, and next up, wake up, wash up, and then go about your day without worrying about sweating, guaranteed. So if you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out SweatBlock. Get it today, 20% off at sweatblock.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and at CVS, sweatblock.com. Did you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more times. You don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. This is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. Your name, your stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You are in total control. Stat Hero is the DFS the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now, change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up free, and right now you can get 3 times back your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. stathero.com/lockedon.
Yeah, so I talk about this a lot in the first episode of the series with like my criteria and stuff, and I actually created like an acronym for evaluating players that it includes all of the schools of thought, because I feel like there's like a war going on between like 3 little subsections of basketball, right? 3 or 4, however you slice it. There's like the really kind of like entertainment based, like flashy, like first take, like Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman type school of thought, where it's like, you know, like Stephen A. Smith always says, like, show me your resume, you know, like whatever. Yeah. And then there's like the Bill Simmons, like, or like Jack McCallum or Bob Ryan, like journalist, where like they kind of like are like condescending towards like the first take guys, like, oh, we know more than those guys. And they use a lot of like story based material as well, based on like, you know, players' personalities, their psychology, the things we see and their mannerisms, because all that stuff matters, you know, because we're talking about a game that includes human beings. And then you take the school of thought of like the really analytically based guys, like a Ben Taylor or Ben Falk or Dean Oliver, who I got to speak to, one of my heroes in the field of analytics. So you add that perspective in, and then you take the X's and O's. So you get like, you know, the coach Fran McCaffrey's or coach Mike Woodson, getting to speak with him, or just like that. So seeing like how it is like drawn up, like what's actually happening on the court, you know what I mean? Who's better at movement shooting or rim protection, you know what I mean? Things like that. So I try to look at it through all of those lenses and kind of like holistically analyze it so that it can be something that's, I guess, like all inclusive, you know what I mean? I'm not missing a part of analysis, because all of them matter at the end of the day. They're all flawed in their own ways, but they all matter, you know what I mean? So that that helped me a lot when I was trying to narrow it down to 10. But at the end of the day, like, there's still some subjective things, some things that are not like easily measurable, and some calls I have to make that are arbitrary, you know what I mean? And I try to be, so in the first episode, I also say that there's technically 13 guys that I would say have a legitimate argument for the top 10, but this is my specific top 10. But like, if you include those other 3 and swap them out for some of the 10 I have in there, then I couldn't get mad at you for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you prepared for pushback? Because you know how you mentioned lists. Fans love lists, and your number one may not jive with somebody else's number one. Your number two may not, you know, 3 should be number 2 and 4 should be number 1. You know, how do you prepare for that type of feedback?
Yeah. I hate to sound like that guy, but I would honestly be the most ecstatic person in the world if I got like angry emails or angry like DMs, like, dude, you got this so wrong. You're an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, because that would mean they were listening.
That's probably coming. That is coming.
Yeah.
Get ready for it.
I hope so, because that would mean they're listening, you know? But I'd get so excited. I'd be like, wow, that's so cool. You care enough to reach out to me. But Yeah, there is, especially in my honorable mentions, there's a couple in there that's going to be like, okay, dude, like what's going on here? And then in the early episodes, you see some guys who may be ranked a little differently than the rest of the general public sees them. So there's definitely, it's definitely unique. It's not like, I've read like pretty much all of the most notorious top 10 lists that have been created. So it doesn't look, I mean, it looks like, it's obviously, there's not like, I don't know, Richard Hamilton's not in my top 10, but it's definitely different than previous iterations of this exercise.
Has there been any other lists that you ever dived into, like just as a fan, like that you appreciate, whether it be basketball, movies? You mentioned movies. What do you think drives fans to list? Why are lists so popular? Just the concept of it.
Well, it's like one thing is like I feel like we crave like hierarchy in a way. Like we really just want to know like, okay, is this guy better than this guy than this guy and this guy? And then lists are so simple and like kind of, I don't know, quick hitting. It's easy to just like pull up article. Okay, who's this guy's top 10? Read it real quick. So I guess my list is different because I'm taking, I have about 5 hours worth of content for this top 10, so it's going to be a long drawn out process, but it's still like it's something that's interesting. Okay, this guy's 10, this guy's 7, so he thinks that this guy is definitely better than that guy. You know what I mean? So I don't know, people just love simplicity. We always crave, we like putting people in boxes, we like putting things in boxes. It's just like people love simple stuff. Lists that I usually look at though, I mean for this series, I did love Bill Simmons. He had a great book, The Book of Basketball. It's one of the most famous works in NBA discourse. Ben Taylor's Backpicks Top 40. I can't remember his first name. His last name's Cobb. He worked for ESPN. I think he used to come out with those like top 50 books or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, but Johnny Osaki, he wrote a top 50 book, and I actually, so I created a stat for the series. I talk about it throughout the series, but there's actually an article up on it right now on the Hoopheads website if you wanted to go check it out. But I name it after him because he kind of gave me the idea. I call it Adjusted Osaki Score, but he gave me the, reading his book gave me the idea for it. So, yeah.
It sounds like, this is kind of like a work of love. You poured your heart into it, and first of all, you should be commended. You're going to give the public something different in some sort of podcast series form where they can debate, talk about, perhaps throw tomatoes at you later on, or even giving you some praise and applaud your list. There's one thing that you made very, very clear before we started, is that you're not ready yet to reveal who's on that list. And we mentioned Duncan and Robinson. Yeah, obviously this is a Locked On Spurs. Fans are interested in those two names. But before we get that, do you ever think this top 10 NBA players list, just whether it be yours or maybe somebody else's, you think the debate will ever be settled, where there'll be a day where people can look at that and say, you know what, this is the definitive list?
No. I hate to get all like psychology on people because like, people think that because they're a psych major, they can like psychoanalyze people when in reality I've only taken like 12 psych courses in my whole life and I'm by no means qualified to assess human like tendencies. But I feel like it is like part of our innate psychology to feel like you have like the upper hand on like in knowledge. You know what I mean? So like if like I don't know. Even if I make an argument that's like very thorough and it's like, it's, I mean, it's like you can't poke any holes in it. You know what I mean? It's like a great argument. There's a lot of facts in it. If it's different from somebody else's, I mean, they're probably gonna, they like in our like psychology, it's hard to like secede, like, okay, hey, I was wrong. You know, this guy's probably right. You know, there's just certain things, certain worldviews that people hold really near and dear to their heart.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to keep up with all the parts you need. Look, you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Go there right now. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Don't go spending up to 30, 50, even 100% more for the same part from a chain store or car dealership. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Look, go explore their easy-to-use website today and change the way you look for auto parts by simply always going to rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your truck or car, and write Locked On in the How Do They Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
One of the more audiences I'm really trying to reach with this is, like, I'm a younger guy myself. I'm only 22 years old, but I have a deep appreciation for history because my father grew up watching, like, you know, the Showtime Lakers when he first came to America. I believe it was like 1984. That was like the peak of Magic and Bird, and he loved Magic Johnson. And so he got me on that train. And then we start talking about, like, I don't know, like Alex English and Fat Lever and all those guys. So I've always had deep appreciation for history, but like with this project, I really hope to draw in an audience of people who aren't as familiar with a lot of these older guys and, you know, can kind of learn their games a little bit more and learn kind of the pillars that make our game what it is. So I do hope to draw that subsection in. Yeah.
All right. We are talking with Matt Issa. He is on Twitter at MattIssa15, and he is the creator of The Quest for the Best. It's just going to be a podcast series where he's going to rank. He's going to give his list of the top 10 NBA players. All right, let's get to the Spurs side of this thing. Again, we're not asking you to reveal where Duncan or Robinson landed in the top 10, if that did happen. But let's start off with Robinson. I think, you know, he was before Duncan. He was the man that kept San Antonio afloat before their dynasty era. You know, when you look at Robinson, many people don't think Robinson in top 10. But again, we're not trying to get you to reveal anything. But what did you learn about Robinson and where he ranks among the greats?
Yeah. So Robinson gets at like an interesting case study here in how we view players, you know. So, for example, like today we look at Anthony Davis, right? And everyone says, OK, who's like the predecessor of Anthony Davis? It's Kevin Garnett. But who came before Kevin Garnett is David Robinson. And so what I'm saying here is, like, David Robinson, I think he gets really underrated by history because he wasn't good enough to be the best scorer on a championship team. And, like, you know, we love, like, scorers. You know, the other day on Twitter, a couple weeks ago on Twitter, there was this whole thing about this guy's a walking bucket or whatever. You know, we love, like, the Jamal Crawfords or, like, the Jordan Clarksons. But, like, David Robinson, he was probably, like, a good enough to be your second best scorer because, like, he was very athletic. He had a good first step, but he didn't have, like, a robust array of post moves. You know what I mean? He didn't have like, a hook shot he could go to, or he couldn't really back you down. He was strong, but I don't think he was, like, overwhelmingly strong, especially for that era. But on defense, you have a hard time, I'd say maybe. There's maybe three or four better defenders than him in NBA history. Like, that's how good he was. So if you're one of the top five best on one half of the court, it would stand to reason that, like, you're probably one of the 15, 20, 10 maybe best players that ever lived. And I think that was one of the interesting findings from this whole project, was just how good David Robinson was. And, like, another thing that we really underrate about him is, like, especially in that era when it's all about, like, hey, man, are you going to bang down low in the post? Again, like I said, Robinson wasn't really that guy. He had a quick first step, and he was a solid jump shooter. But, like, especially at that time, people thought solid jump shooter was, like, code for being soft. Like, you know, we thought Dirk Nowitzki was soft. But that's not the case. You know what I mean? So Robinson's definitely, like, way better than we give him credit for. Like, people like to kind of, I feel like, put him in that same basket as, like, Karl Malone and Charles Barkley, but I think he's definitely, like, a notch above those guys.
Yeah, I mean, he was ahead of his time. I mean, physically, I mean, imagine him playing in today's era of the NBA. I think he'd be just, you know, unstoppable, you know, with his finesse game, with his, he did have a power game, and he, one of the things that he had among what was better than a lot of the bigs of his era was that he had a good mid-range shot. You know, he could really stretch that floor. And you look at Shaq, you know, banger in the middle, Alonzo Mourning, same thing. Patrick Ewing as well. But Robinson really could stretch that floor. He hit the occasional three-point shot. But, man, was he quick? I mean, he was probably the fastest big man of that era. And Do you think a thing that could be, you know, casting a shadow on Robinson and his career, when those that look back and see where, how they rank him in the NBA greats, is the fact that maybe he played in a small market? You know, San Antonio at that time during the Robinson era wasn't winning titles, having somewhat decent playoff runs, but, you know, never really getting it done and getting that chip. How much of a factor do you think that impacts Robinson?
Oh yeah, big time. You know, if you're, it's a completely different ballgame if you're playing in LA or, you know, playing for like a storied franchise like Boston or something like that than it is playing in boring old San Antonio, Texas. But I think another thing that really kind of messes with his case, and I hate this so much, is that like David Robinson had a lot of other interests outside of basketball. You know, he loved music. He, you know, he was very religious. You know, he has the military background, all that. And like, I think people kind of, we did this with LeBron, and I was guilty of this, you know, for a time. Like, oh, LeBron wants to make movies. That must mean he's like less of a basketball player now. And that's like silly, because he's still like one of the most overwhelming, like fastest, most athletic guys we've ever seen. So like, I don't think that there's like, we can't say just because he's a human being and he has other interests, that things that he loves, that he's not like a really damn good basketball, who doesn't like really care about the game of basketball. But I do agree with you that, I know this, like, I completely went off topic, but I do agree with you the small market thing does hurt him, of course. And I mean, that's like a case all throughout
like
NBA history. You know, the small market guys are like, I was thinking about it. In my list, there are so many like just guys who at least at one point have donned the purple and gold. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But there's not anybody, you know, spoiler alert, who's ever worn like a, I don't know, like a Toronto Raptors jersey or something like that.
Right, yeah. You know, I hear you. Yeah, Robinson definitely, I think, in my opinion, gets overlooked a lot as far as greatness, you know, because he was quiet. He wasn't, I mean, think about it, Shaq was, you know, larger than life off the court. You know, he was this big character. You know, Patrick Ewing, New York City, you know, the bright lights of the Big Apple. You know, Lonzo Mourning, a power player, you know, in his time. So, yeah, I mean, but Robinson got it done. You know, Robinson got it done. He has one more chip than Ewing does, and that's 0-0. You know, he has two of them, to be exact. And, yeah, I mean, Robinson definitely, I think, gets lost. I mean, I always tell people, go back and look at his stats and prepare for your mouth to just drop. I mean, it's just ridiculous what he would average during the peak of his career. His MVP season was incredible. All in all, yes, Robinson does get lost in the shuffle when discussing the NBA greats. Now let's get to the one guy that I'm hoping is in your top 10 list here, Matt. But we shall see once you reveal it. And that is Tim Duncan. I mean, what more can you say about the big fundamental, you know, basketball Hall of Famer, you know, five-time NBA champ? I mean, the list can go on and on. We could be here for the rest of the show just talking about what he did. But when you have a guy of that stature, literally figured a big man, and didn't do what he did in the era of the power forward, I mean, he was heads above the rest. You know, was it almost easy to say, you know, and I'm not trying to get you to reveal anything, but to say, oh, yeah, you know, he's definitely top 10. Or did you ever pause and be like, you know what, I'm going to have to think about this with Duncan?
Yeah. So Bob Ryan, he actually, you know, he was so kind. He actually had like his top 10 list for me. And he said to me, there's 9 guys that if they're not in your top 10, like, I'm going to think you're an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what you're talking about. And, he, you know, he said, like, you know, MJ, LeBron. He said, you know, the dinosaurs, Will, Russell. Yeah. And he goes like, and then the next guy goes like, is Tim Duncan. Like, Tim Duncan better be on your top 10. You know, he's like, that's the big fundamental. And, you know, I feel like there's this like this strange like thing we do, like we're like, oh, yeah, Duncan is so underrated. When like at this point, like everyone has said it so many times that like, no, Duncan's like, you know, Duncan gets his flowers. You know what I mean? Like he was great and he gets all the respect that he deserves. But, he was probably one of my favorite guys to do film study on when I was doing that part of the project for my research, because like for his era, just like that, he was like, he's like the perfect kind of like bridge to the new era, in the sense where he still has a lot of like, you know, the dinosaur tendencies. He can bang. Mm-hmm. He's strong. He's got this kind of this lexicon of post moves at his disposal. But then at the same time, he's kind of graceful, you know. He's great balance, good footwork. He's a good passer for his size. He has an overrated jump shot, to be honest with you, but still a solid jump shot. He can get up on the perimeter. He can kind of dance with guards a little bit. There was just so much about his game that I loved. And he was like, he was that kind of guy where, and this is more anecdotal based than, you know, actual on the court, but he was that kind of guy where if he's on the floor, like, it doesn't matter who your opponent is. Like, you've got a chance, you know what I mean? And the Spurs had a chance for 2 decades because, like, that guy, he was the same killer that MJ and LeBron are, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when for example, I talked to Coach Speedy Claxton, who was on that 2003 championship team with him, and he goes, like, to me, like, that guy, he wanted it so bad. Like, he was so competitive at everything. Like, you know, he talked about, wow, like, they would go, yeah, they'd go play paintball, and even playing paintball, like, he was hyper competitive. But, like, we missed that because on the court, he's not, like, you know, he's not making faces or, like, you know, he did argue with refs. He was a competitive guy, like I said, but he's just really calm, cool. You know, he's a collected guy, kind of like a Clint Eastwood type, you know. But, you're right. He is one of those guys who he deserves to be in the middle of every conversation regarding the best to ever play this game.
Yeah, I know. And he did it again during an era of some top talent. He had Shaq. Shaq was at his peak of his powers, and he had to contend with Shaq. When the Spurs and Lakers rivalry was at its peak in the early 2000s, then there was KG, then there was Rasheed Wallace. The list goes on and on of the great power forwards of that era, but yet he stood there heads above the rest. Again, kind of the same question for Robinson. You know, how much is that personality or maybe lack thereof on the court impacted Duncan in not in your list, but in everybody else's list when you think of TD, because he wasn't brash like Kevin Garnett. You know, he wasn't in your face. He wasn't, wild like Rasheed Wallace was or out there like Shaq was, you know, doing movies and everything. Quiet, composed, got the job done. I mean, again, do you think that impacts Tim Duncan and his rankings in the NBA's greatest?
Yeah, I think when he was playing, it might have been a thing where it was like, you know, okay, people kind of forget about boring old Timmy D, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I remember when he won the fifth one against the Heat, and they were calling him, you know, I think it was like Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy were talking about it, and they're like, yeah, he's the greatest of all time, greatest power forward of all time, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was thinking about it, like, because another star of his time is Kobe Bryant, who was much more, you know, had a much more, I guess, I don't know, visual, aesthetically pleasing, like, game, you know, much more fun to emulate, whatever. And he was more exaggerated with his mannerisms on the court. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, damn, I never really noticed, like, Tim Duncan's, like, right up there historically with Kobe Bryant, you know?
Right.
And, like,
yeah,
you never think about it because, you know, you kind of just forget Tim Duncan's there sometimes. But I think as you know, our understanding of the game has grown and, you know, analytics are more available now, I think he's gotten his flowers, you know, especially with his recent enshrinement. Like, I read a lot of different stuff that was coming out about him, and I feel like we all have, like, a really good understanding at this point to where it's like Duncan's not underrated by history anymore. And I don't think that the spot I put him in, it's like me making the argument that we kind of all overlooked Tim Duncan. I feel like he's been properly appreciated up to this point now.
Yeah, I think during his playing days, you know, covering him during the peak of his powers, I always felt that even though he was racking up titles, he still wasn't appreciated. I know during that run, you know, it was still, okay, Tim Duncan won the title, but look what Shaq's doing, look what Kobe's doing, even though the Spurs just bounced him out of the playoffs or ended their championship defense. So, you know, with Duncan, yeah, I think as it's one of those things where you don't know what you got till it's gone. And that's what it feels like with Duncan. Now that he's gone from the game, you know, everybody appreciates what Duncan did. I mean, how many times do you hear this, Matt? You know, like, oh, Anthony Davis should look at film at Tim Duncan's footwork. Or, you know, DeAndre Ayton definitely should look at Tim Duncan and learn from him. Get that bank shot done. You know, you just look at where he vaults himself. I mean, even till today, look at Damian Lillard. He has a new rap album, and there's a track named after Tim Duncan. You know, the fact that this generation's NBA players still, you know, respect what Duncan did, you know, is just amazing. And you're right, he definitely deserves that type of shine. But again, without revealing your top 10 list, you know, what can Spurs fans expect when it comes to Duncan and Robinson on your list?
And they can expect this with every player because I really truly feel like a kind of a debt to these guys, you know, because as journalists, you know this, we have a very like important job to tell the story of the people we're talking about to the best of our ability. Because at the end of the day, you know, these are people with families, with friends, with legacies, you know, they've achieved an incredible feat because they are both of them in the top like 0.1% of basketball players to ever live. Like how many people can say that about their lives? You know, that they were top 0.1% of their profession. Not too many people, right? Hmm. So I want the people who are listening and listening for Duncan or Robinson or whoever your favorite player is that you want to hear about, know that I did this as unbiased as I possibly could, and I worked as hard as I could because, like, I really want to respectfully portray Duncan's legacy. I want to respectfully portray Robinson's legacy, or Larry Bird, or I don't know, whoever ends up being on the top 10, you know?
Right. When can fans expect this to begin, the series to be launched, and where can they go check it out?
Yeah, so we're hoping to announce the release date either tomorrow or the day after. But I mean, I figure since you were kind enough to have me on your podcast, I'll just tell you guys the premiere date where the first two episodes are going to launch is September 14th. So that will be not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. The easiest way to find it is to follow me on Twitter. So at MattIsa15. And then there's a link that takes you basically to all of like the links for whichever podcast platform you use to consume podcasts. And you could just follow it on whatever you use. So if you use Apple or Spotify or Google right. or Amazon Video, I mean, Amazon Podcast. And then, you know how following a podcast works. Whenever you follow yeah. a podcast, there's yeah. a new episode that downloads, you get a notification. But so the structure will be the first two episodes will be released on the 14th. And then episode 3 will be released the week after, and so on and so on and so on. There's 6 episodes total in the entire series. And then after that's over, there's going to be a lot of bonus content. I think I'm going to be releasing the raw interviews that I conducted just so people can kind of get like a behind the scenes look of like how this whole thing was created, you know?
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting too, to see how you put the list together, you know, perhaps other tidbits that you left out when you released the rankings. But I'm excited to see where Duncan and Robinson land. I know all Spurs fans tuning in right now are definitely going to be looking at it with a very close eye on you, Matt. Be ready. Spurs fans can be a little bit of a tough audience, Matt. Are you ready?
Oh, I am. Please, guys. Like, if you think that I did an awful job and like I am just a complete... Do you guys, am I allowed to swear, Jeff? Is that okay?
No, you're not. But you can use other alternatives, okay. though.
If you guys think I'm just like a complete, like just idiot, like please let me know. Because I mean, I want to grow. I want to become a better basketball analyst. You know what I mean? There's definitely, I'm only 22 years old. There's definitely going to be some shortcomings here. I'm definitely going to miss the mark on a couple of things. So please, like if you think, you know, I got it wrong, he's too high or he's too low yeah. or he's not on the list at all. Let me know, please. But I'm excited to see what Spurs Twitter has for me.
I'm excited too, just to see just overall rankings. You know, I'm old enough to remember a lot of the guys that probably landed on your rankings. You know, from the old heads to the new generation. I am excited. He is Matt Issa. Follow him on Twitter at MattIsa15. He is the creator of the Quest for the Best podcast series, where he's going to be ranking the top 10 NBA players in NBA history. Matt, I appreciate your time to hop on Locked On Spurs and give fans kind of a little bit of a sneak peek of what they can expect, Matt. I really do appreciate it. So for Matt Issa, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.